8, 7, 6,
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And liftoff at dawn. The dawn of Orion and a new era of American space exploration.
That's the sound of the vehicle which will carry the first astronauts to Mars. Last December, the Orion spacecraft took off from Cape Canaveral in the US, reached orbit 15 times higher up than the International Space Station, and came back without a hitch. But so far, with no humans on board, because there are a few things that need to be sorted out first, like food. Now, there's a long way from NASA's space launch in the US to this field outside of the city of Trondheim in Norway. But here, inside this humble-looking brown wooden building in front of me, is where they're figuring out how to grow the food that those astronauts on board the Orion will eat on the way to Mars and live off once they get there.
Yes, 15.5, and that's a good limit.
Okay, copy. I'll enable 28 volt power.
And copy. In this pot, you put the seeds, and then it will be launched with one of the vehicles going up to the International Space Station.
Senior engineer Britt Ely Danielsen has brought me down into the basement of that brown wooden building and the control room for the Centre for Interdisciplinary Space Research at the University of Trondheim. With wall-to-wall television screens, it's like a miniature NASA mission control from where she and her colleagues instruct the astronauts on board the ISS in how to care for the seedlings they send up.
The crew will take them out of the launch vehicle and put it into the greenhouse.
Uh-huh.
And when we give them water, we do that remotely from our control room, they will start to grow.
Right. Mm. So you're actually sat here down in a cellar in Trondheim watering plants in space.
Yes, that's correct.
The team has been working for nearly 10 years to solve the many problems with growing plants in space, which will be necessary for any long-term space exploration, like a trip to Mars. It's far from as straightforward as growing tomatoes in your windowsill at home, explains Britt Ely Danielsen.
The space is limited, the resources are limited, and you have no gravity, and it's an extreme version of a greenhouse on Earth. The goal is to maybe you can grow plants on a base on Moon or Mars later, and then this is a start point.
So I guess what most people don't think about when you grow plants here on Earth is that gravity actually plays a very important role for how the whole thing works. You know, what happens when you take gravity away?
The problem is, for instance, the water is not behaving like it does on ground. It's free-floating, so you have to have equipment that controls the water. And also for the plants, when there's no gravity, they have to have other stimuli to know in which direction they will put their leaves and in which direction the roots are going.
But it's not impossible.
It's not impossible.
Okay, let's do the math. I got to figure out how to grow 4 years' worth of food here on a planet where nothing grows. But if I can't figure out a way to make contact with NASA...
In the film The Martian, the main character is stranded alone on the red planet and has to figure out how to grow food to survive without the resources we're used to here on Earth.
So here's the system, basically. And the water is recycled.
And that's exactly what the scientists in Trondheim are up against. No local resources on Mars or on a spaceship means recycle everything. Next to the control room lies an ordinary, earthbound greenhouse. Here, research scientist Irena Karoliasson is working on the next step for how to make a trip to Mars sustainable.
We need to recycle everything on the station or in the spaceship. Everything that the humans use, we have to think more about recycling, like everything. The organic material from the feces and the water and the urine to go back into the system.
Currently, we are growing strawberries.
In a so-called hydroponic system, it means that you are using water and you recycle the water over the plants for the nutrients and you're not using any soil.
All the plants in the greenhouse are hooked up to a system of pipes and tubes which recycle nearly all the water used, which means hardly any nutrients are wasted. How far off are we from seeing a similar system applied in space?
I think we have some challenges, basically because of the mass. Because this system, you can see here, it's quite big. But when you launch systems, it needs to be quite small.
Velocity now 1,341 feet per second. 1 minute, 50 seconds in. Still looking good.
While many are getting excited about the prospect of putting people on Mars, critics of space exploration say it is too costly and that money could be better spent here on Earth. But the space plant experiments have their earthly benefits too, argues research scientist Irene Karoliusson.
It's very beneficial because, as we know, we have a lack of water in lots of countries in the world. So if you try to recycle the water, you have lots of benefits from that. And also you recycle the nutrients, so you don't need to buy expensive fertilizer. And in third world countries, they have no money to buy fertilizer that is quite expensive. So if they can reuse the nutrients, that's very good for them.
Velocity now 1,341 feet per second.
For now, the team in Trondheim has solved how to water plants in zero gravity, how to make them grow roots one way and leaves the other, and basically how to keep them alive for a long time. The next step, before we can send people into deep space for years at a time, is to grow edible crops. And the clock is ticking. NASA plans a manned Orion mission to Mars by the 2030s, only some 15 years from now. Lars Bevanger, DW, at the Centre for Interdisciplinary Space Research, Trondheim, Norway.
Good engine control on the first stage. Port and starboard boosters still at good chamber pressures in the full power mode and good core chamber pressure in the partial thrust mode at 2 minutes, 22 seconds in.